You know, for the saints' days, there are readings that are special. Those are the ones we just read. But for every day, there's the regular readings. And so today we read the ones for St. Agatha, which is different. We don't usually do that because I like to follow the order. We're right now in 2 Samuel and so forth. But since we had the ones from St. Agatha, we'll look at them. The Corinthians were, what can I say? Corinth was like Marseille or some other port town. Where Corinth was, there are two big bodies of water that meet, and there's one little isthmus or that divides them. So, of course, they dug a canal so they didn't have to transport the boats on by land, you know, pull them up by the horses and roll them on logs into the other body of water. So it was a double port town. And it had a reputation to suit. If you said to somebody, "Si Corintizi, you live like a Corinthian," it was hardly a worse insult. And you see, the Lord went right there. And he sent Paul there to help them, to have mercy on them. And so that's where he went. You know, he went to Athens for a while. He bombed out in Athens, as far as we can tell. Things picked up later, but in Corinth, there were a lot of people who knew how much help they needed from God and were so glad to hear about Jesus, the Son of God, dying for us. And so, you see, so now he's starting this letter. Well, of course, we're only going to have the part that suits St. Agatha. "Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God." Now they take that text to apply to St. Agatha. She was maybe a teenager. She may have been younger, you know, 12, but she, or a teenager. And you just heard that. Oh, you didn't this morning, did you? And you heard a little bit. Okay, then you know. And so she was killed, witnessing to Christ. Now her virginity was already a witness. I want to be consecrated to Christ. And then her death. It's astonishing, isn't it? Why would people want to kill somebody who is not doing anything wrong? But this call to virginity, you see, that's new. There were these Vestal virgins, but it wasn't a whole lifetime. They served and then they stopped and they got married and so forth. And this person witnessing to the complete all satisfaction of belonging to Christ and witnessing to that to the whole world. the beauty of this. And so, but that, you see, the foolish of this world shame the wise, the weak. She was foolish. Really. I mean, she could have married this nice rich guy and had a nice life. But the Lord said, I don't want you to do that. And so you must realize the threat to the Roman Empire these virgins were. You wouldn't think so. You know, they're teenage young women, and all they want to do is just live for Christ. How's that going to... Well, the male domination of the culture was such that the women didn't have much choice about whether they were going to marry or who they were going to marry. So when these young women, and they're tiny, you know, I mean, they're 14, 15. No, I'm not going to get married. Well, that upsets the whole structure of the Roman Empire. They're not going to just be able to, you know, tell you marry so-and-so, you marry so-and-so. And no, I'm going to marry Jesus. And that was why they were such a threat. Because the people who could see saw that this will undo the whole structure of Roman society. The males will not dominate everything anymore. These young women will decide for themselves whether they're going to be married to Christ or married to a husband and have a family. And that was the reason they were more, but some Christianity would be another disturbing reason, because nobody could figure the Christians out either. Their life wasn't like everybody else's. The famous story of St. Lawrence, also a martyr. He was a deacon, which meant he looked after the material concerns of the Roman Church. And they came and said, we want the treasures of the church, meaning the money. And he said, all right, come this afternoon to such and such a church. So he gathered all the poor. So they all came looking for the money. And they walked into the church. And it was filled with poor people, sick people. And he said, there is the treasure of the church. So, of course, they got really mad at him and killed him, too. What I'm trying to point out is that Christianity is disruptive. If you don't believe me, just look at what the liberal press does to... And it pushes abortion, same-sex marriage, to say nothing of profligacy. And Christians stand there as an invitation to another way of life and as a condemnation of that way of life. And that's why we still honor 1,000, 2,000 years later almost, Saint Agatha, who said, no, I'm going to marry Jesus. That's going to be my... I forget, one of the great Protestant theologians said, it might have been Barth, I forgot now, the church needs consecrated virginity. Among other reasons, to establish the fact that marriage is a choice. You don't have to get married. Therefore, it's a choice of a vocation, and that ennobles marriage. It's the choice of a vocation. You don't have to get married. And so that they help and protect one another, these two vocations. Well, that's enough, I guess. But that's why these young women were killed, to frighten the others into doing what we tell you. Because they could see If you let these women make their own choices, it's going to disrupt the whole structure of the Roman Empire. And it did. It was a better structure when they finished. But, so nowadays, well, that would certainly never be the case. Family life is not as patriarchal as it used to be. I mean, like, that threat is not there. But freedom to love the Lord Jesus, to give your life to him, to serve him and serve others, and to remain celibate. See, that's a choice. And, as I just pointed out, one of the effects of that choice is to clearly establish that marriage is a choice. It's not a natural necessity. You can be very happy and not be married. But some are supposed to be married. And that establishes, virginity protects marriage from being a natural or societal necessity. Enough, right? But this is why Agatha, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, that whole list of virgin martyrs we read in the first canon, this is one of the roles that that had. It was to introduce freedom into family life, into it wasn't just all finances and power.